Welcome to Rebel Radio, the official podcast of Trust Me, I'm a Jedi. This is your host, Mark, and with him as always is Biscuit. Welcome to the first ever podcast for Rebel Radio, the official podcast of Trust Me, I'm a Jedi. I'm your host. This is Mark, and with me is Biscuit.
How's it going?
Well, let's first talk about the where Rebel Radio originated from. I started Rebel Radio as a radio show, internet radio show, that is, about 5 years ago or so, 6 years ago. Probably about 7 years ago that originated out of Star Wars Galaxies. And I did the show for myself for a while, and then I invited Biscuit onto the show, and we hosted it together, and we had some special guests. It was full of mostly goofiness and more goofiness. And at the time, I called myself DJ Trey, which originated from my Star Wars Galaxies name. And Rebel Radio ran for about 95 episodes. Just fell short of 100 before it went under. And that's the actual origins of where this title came from. And now it's officially a podcast, and it ties into my website, which is found at trustmeimajedi.blogspot.com. Hopefully soon at trustmeimajedi.net. That's the plan as we move further.
That would be a lot shorter, wouldn't it?
Yeah, as we move further along. And you can also find Trust Me, I'm a Jedi at facebook.com/TrustMeOnMyJedi. So, well, welcome to our first podcast ever. It's been a while since we've done this, so we might be a little shaky at first, a little messy, but...
A little nervous.
We'll do the best we can. Bear with us. So, it's officially the summer movie season as Amazing Spider-Man 2 just hit theaters. A month ago, it was Captain America the Winter Soldier, which was excellent. But we don't like to go backwards too much, so let's talk a little bit about Spider-Man. I felt that the movie suffered from some of the same problems the first one did. Awkward pacing by whoever edits director Mark Webb's films. They're not afraid to let a scene breathe sometimes, and it just felt like sometimes a series of short scenes. I also felt the length was a little long. Normally I'm not one to complain about a 2.5 hour movie, but Amazing Spider-Man 2 felt really long, leading up to the climatic scene, which I thought was handled well. I didn't have a problem with the climax. I thought the last 20 minutes of the film were great, but it's the hour in between there it took to get to the climax. It just seemed a lot of really pointless subplots to me that were in the film. I thought the CGI worked great. It looked kind of sloppy in the trailers for the film, but once we got to the actual product, I thought the film looked excellent on screen. I thought Andrew Garfield did a great job again in the role, and Emma Stone, adorable as always, as Gwen Stacy. And spoiler alert, it's sad to see her go, but I thought they handled the death well, even though I thought maybe they should have waited till the third film, because you took 20 years of comic book history and basically put it into 4 hours of film over the first two movies. What did you think about it, Biscuit?
I like it, like you said. It's not going to compare to maybe some of the other action movies that are coming out this year, especially with X-Men coming out here soon. And I'm sure we probably got some others, you know. So it's a really packed movie year for action movies. So out of all of them, I think it's not going to be the strongest, but it's not going to be like that bad in the long run. But like you say, yeah, the pacing wasn't as good as it could have been. I'm more of a guy that likes character development, to take a little bit more time to actually like a character even when they become a villain, so you could see why they become a villain. And with the fast pace of it all, it's just you don't really get to know the characters to at least have some sympathy. I guess you could say that you shouldn't have sympathy for bad guys, but there's a reason why people become bad guys and do the things they do, and usually it comes from tragedy.
Yeah, true, but I think that's the difference in Max Dillon and some other heroes. He was a he was, in a sense, a tragic hero because he was created by an accident and he happened to blame Spider-Man for it. And but, I, you know, overall, I thought the film was handled well. And they're going to do another one. They're obviously leading into Sinister Six, which would be very cool. There's some talk about a Sinister Six movie. Not sure how that would work with villains in the lead movie, because generally those, I don't know, it just doesn't seem like a good idea to me. I think you need to introduce the Sinister Six and Spider-Man 3 and move forward from that. I'm not sure about a solo movie based on villains.
Well, if they did do a movie about villains, they would have to work really hard on the character development.
Well, yeah. And but Amazing Spider-Man 2, overall, didn't disappoint me, but didn't love it either as much as I've loved Captain America, for instance, this year. But it's a good beginning of the summer. And with that, let's talk a little bit about the summer schedule this year. We've got the big ones coming out in the next couple of weeks. We've got Godzilla, which...
Okay, I love me some Godzilla.
At first...
it's like the one that came out last time.
At first, I was kind of iffy on it, but the new trailer has me kind of looking forward to it. Then after that, of course, is X-Men, which we discussed a little bit already, and X-Men should be great. And then... one of my most anticipated movies of the year doesn't come out until July, and that's The Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. And I really enjoyed the first one with the reboot. I've always been a Planet of the Apes fan, except for the Mark Wahlberg film, we'll forgive. But going back to the films from the 60s, and I was really excited when I heard they were rebooting the franchise. And so far, so good, and I think the series is in great hands with Matt Reeves as director. And really looking forward to that one this summer.
I think they did a really good job in the reboot. So that makes me look forward to the next one coming out.
And we should get a good look at the new one tomorrow when the new trailer premieres for Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. And that trailer, as soon as it's available, should be up at trustmeimajedi.blogspot.com. And shameless plug there, but that's what this is about, because Rebel Radio is the official podcast of Trust Me, I'm a Jedi. And, well, we're going to move on to the next segment here in just a moment. We're going to talk about some Star Wars Episode 7 talk, and here later in the podcast, we're going to discuss 20 years of The Crow. Stay tuned to the Rebel Radio Podcast. So, feels pretty good to be back in these chairs, huh, Biscuit?
Oh, yeah.
Back with the Rebel Radio days and bringing it back as a podcast and tying it in with my website. And it's good to be back doing this. A little more serious this time around, I guess, as we have a little more focus than we did before. We were, I guess, younger and dumber then doing the show, possibly.
Well, I was younger. I don't know about that other part.
So, obviously, my website, Trust Me, a Jedi, takes its namesake from the greatest film saga of all time, that being Star Wars. And it was recently, last year, of course, announced that Disney bought Star Wars and Lucasfilm and were moving forward with a new trilogy of films. And ever since Star Wars Episode 7 was announced, the fans have been collectively crying out for news, information, whatever they can get their hands on as we move forward to the 2015 release date. Everyone was excited to find out that J.J. Abrams was going to be directing it. He, of course, the creator of Lost and director of the first two Star Trek reboot films, and very popular with fans and very trusted that he will handle the saga with grace and respectability that it's been come to expect from Star Wars. And George Lucas has moved over as just a consultant, and it will be based on his outlines, but he's, in some people's minds, thankfully not directing it. I don't like to knock on George too hard because he did give this to us. Without George, there is no Star Wars. So we will forgive him his lapse in directing. Even if the prequels weren't great, let's face it, we all still went and watched them. We probably watched them multiple times. We'll continue to probably watch the prequels multiple times over the years. So you can sit at home and you can say, oh, the prequels suck, but I guarantee you've all seen them and you'll continue to watch them. But let's move on. Star Wars Episode 7. It's going to hit theaters in December of 2015. And it was recently announced last week, the cast. We have Mark Hamill, Harrison Ford, and Carrie Fisher coming back in their roles for Luke Skywalker, Han Solo, and Princess Leia, respectively. You know, Biscuit, I really think that this is the right way to do it. Some people said, oh, let's go with all new cast, but the original trilogy is the most popular. To see Han and Luke on screen again, despite their age of the actors and stuff moved on, it's going to be freaking cool.
Well, of course it is, and people got to realize that it's not going to take replace right after Jedi.
Yeah. It's, I mean, it's 30 be, years later.
Yeah, exactly. And, oh, you forgot to mention two other characters that will be reprising their roles.
Well, R2 and 3PO.
Of course.
Well, that's a given. But, I mean, it's just going to be really cool to see Han and Luke back together, because I think that's what everyone has always hoped initially. And Harrison has proved that he can still play well, even as he's gotten older. Mark Hamill and Carrie Fisher look like they're in great shape. They've been working out from the pictures that have hit the internet and people have seen them in London. And I think it's the right way to do it. And there's no word yet whether it's a passing of the torch movie. We don't know yet. But I think J.J. Abrams will handle it well with the script that he wrote, and somehow that Han and Luke and Leia will be used properly, as well as Chewbacca and 3PO and R2-D2. And the rest of the cast that round out, I mean, Max von Sydow, Ming the Merciless in the movie, that's excellent casting.
Yeah. Well, you bring up J.J. Abrams. I heard that he wanted to do Star Wars before he even did Star Trek. But, you know, Lucas was like he wasn't going to do any more films. So when Disney took over ownership of it, of course, you know, he jumped all over the chance at...
It's not exactly true, Biscuit. J.J. Abrams actually said no several times to Star Wars. He felt the cultural significance of it was too much for him to handle until George and Kathleen Kennedy, who's a producer in the new Star Wars film, sat down with him and finally convinced him to do it.
So why did they work so hard to convince him to do it?
Because he was just afraid that it was even too much for him. I mean, it's just the freaking wars we're talking about, man. Even J.J. Abrams was afraid to take it on. You know, I mean, it's a big, big... task, so to speak, for anyone, man, to take. I mean,
yeah, and, I mean, in the world of sci-fi, your legacy as a director, producer, whatever, can live and die with these two franchises that he's now going to be part of for the rest of his life.
Well, absolutely. And but I think this saga is in great hands. I think Disney, it's hard to argue with anything they've done over the years. I mean, Disney is a solid name. They put out good films, good product. And when J.J. Abrams at the helm and the producers and the writers they brought in and the cast, I think Episode 7 will be just fine. I just can't wait for December 2015 to come. And then there's also been a report this week from AintItCoolNews.com that the rumored title of the film is The Ancient Fear. And, you know, we don't know if it's true or not. I think maybe we'll find out by Comic-Con. Maybe we won't. J.J. Abrams is the king of secrets. I mean, he kept Khan pretty secret until about a month before the film came out with Star Trek. And but The Ancient Fear kind of plays into, if it is 30 years later, you think about it. A New Hope was Episode 4. This is 30 years later, The Ancient Fear. Ancient is the opposite of new. Fear, the opposite of hope. Could ring very true. It has a good possibility to be in the title. There's some rumor that The Ancient Fear refers to Van Sydow's character in the movie, but again, it's all rumor. It's a source from Ain't It Cool News, so we'll take it what it is. But it's been fun to talk about nonetheless, because like I just said a few minutes ago, people are itching for Star Wars Episode 7 information.
Well, when it comes to Star Wars titles, they've gone through many of changes from their originals.
Right, right. I mean, that's true. And if it is Ancient Fear, so be it. I mean, when it comes to Star Wars, the subtitles have never been the greatest subtitles in the world. They're subject to debate. It's all about whether the movie's any good or not. And that's what we hope for with Episode 7 coming out. And so, Star Wars Episode 7, I'm sure we will be mentioning it many times on this podcast over the next many episodes. And continue to follow TrustMeWithJedi.blogspot.com for more information on Star Wars Episode 7 as it becomes available. And stay tuned to the podcast, because in our next segment, we're going to talk about 20 years since The Crow was released in theaters. Welcome back to the official podcast of Trust Me, I'm a Jedi. This is Rebel Radio. I am your host, Mark, and with me, as always, is Biscuit. By the way, Biscuit, you were known as Biscuit back on Rebel Radio, and you want a new name.
Well, you know, this is kind of old, and there's a lot of Biscuits out there.
So, any of you that follow Trust Me, I'm a Jedi, or access the Facebook page at facebook.com/TrustMeI'mAJedi, we need suggestions for Biscuit's new name. Maybe we'll get some, maybe we won't. But we're going to go with Biscuit for now until we come up with a new name for him.
Well, I like this. How about we get a bunch of suggestions, we narrow it down to the five, and then people can vote on it.
And let's keep it clean, people. But Biscuit needs a new name for the podcast because he wants to separate his identity from the old show. So we'll give him that. So for now, he's Biscuit until he becomes the artist formerly known as Biscuit.
Oh my gosh, can you imagine that? It would be like the artist formerly known as.
So this is Rebel Radio, the official podcast of Trust Me, a Jedi, which is found at TrustMeIJedi.blogspot.com. Hopefully soon at TrustMeIJedi.net as we move forward and progress through our continuation of our website and our podcast. So, this week, there's an anniversary coming up. Back in 1994, a movie was released called The Crow. I'm sure many of you have heard it and seen it. Super popular soundtrack for the movie. And it was one of the first comic book movies that branched out from your typical superhero. At the time, in 1994, we had a couple of Batman films from Tim Burton. We had, of course, the Christopher Reeve Superman movies. But comic book movies had not really stepped out into mainstream yet, or to touch on graphic novels that were done by independent publishers. The Crow was put out by Caliber Press and then eventually by Kitchen Sink Press, and was written and created by James O'Barr. And it got an underground following, and of course Miramax Films picked up the film rights to the graphic novel and put a movie into production starring Brandon Lee. In March of 1993, Brandon Lee was of course tragically killed on set by an accident, and the film was shelved for a little while. But not for long. The studio went ahead and moved forward at the well wishing of Brandon Lee's family. They wanted the project finished, so through the use of technology and doubles, they were able to finish The Crow. The Crow was eventually released on May 13th, 1994, about 20 years ago. The Crow is, of course, fond to many in their hearts, and as being a film that not only celebrate the comic, but also Brandon Lee himself. And the movie over the years has kind of taken on a cult classic type feel. It did very well at the box office for 1994 standards, and some of that may be due to just the fact that the film kind of touched, touched the right element to people back in those times. There was the grunge movement, a lot of goth movement, and people were looking for escapism and get out of reality. And I think just what happened to Brandon, the idea of The Crow, set home with or hit home with a lot of people back then. And to this day, 20 years later, the film has still stood the test of time. I don't know if it's the performances of the actors. I mean, Brandon Lee was excellent. He would have become a star based on the film, but that's neither here nor there, because now it's a celebration of who Brandon Lee was. Ernie Hudson, Michael Wincott, several of the actors that were in the film just really gave it their all, and they wanted it to be because they all felt very passionate about the project. Director Alex Proyas, it was his first movie he ever did. His art direction, his cinematography, and his direction of the movie all put together quite a nice film based on a graphic novel on a very low budget for those standards back then, because, as I said, graphic novels and comic books just weren't the mainstream that they are now in 2014. I remember seeing The Crow in theaters and being really blown away by it. Went and saw it a couple of times, and of course, who didn't own the soundtrack? Right, Biscuit? I mean, the soundtrack is one of the most popular soundtracks of all time. And I know, Biscuit, you were growing up around the same time. You're only a little bit older than me. And what did The Crow mean to you when you saw it?
Like you said, it unlike the Batman movies and all that, because you want to say dark comics, it was truly a dark comic where you had this hero that wasn't afraid to kill and take it to the bad guys.
Well, it wasn't so much that. It wasn't really so much about he's afraid to kill. On the surface, people may have viewed The Crow as a revenge film, but it's really not. It's very much a love story.
Well, yeah.
I mean, the deepest kind of love story. I mean, here's a person who's faced with unspeakable tragedy, and he's given a second chance, and like, who wouldn't want that, to right their wrongs? I mean, not all of us are faced with unspeakable tragedy in our life, but if we were, what would we want to do to fix it if we could do anything? And The Crow gives that chance to that person. And you'd be remiss to not talk about Brandon Lee when talking about The Crow. His performance.
Well, of course. I was already a Brandon Lee fan way before this movie. I mean, he's done so many other great action movies. You saw the potential of what he would have become. And then The Crow, the part that he was in it, just emphasized even more of how great he would have been. I mean, imagine the face of these type of action movies if he was still around today. Not also, he could have been a great coordinator,
fight choreographer.
Yeah, that's it. And producer, director. I mean, he would have taken on so many roles. And just like with the loss of his father, the industry itself has lost so much potential. I mean, what's out there is good, but I just think the passion and all that, it was in the blood.
Right. Well, The Crow, is now 20 years later, it still stands the test of time. I watched it again recently, and I still find it to be a very engaging film. I still think it's an excellent adaptation of the comic. And now, of course, they're moving into reboot territory with it, with Luke Evans in the role. And I'm staying reserved on it. At first, I was totally against the film, but now that James O'Barr is involved in it, and it seems like they really want to make a kind of hyper-realistic, true to the graphic novel version of the movie, I'm going to stay open to it. We'll see how it goes. You know, until I hear more and see more, I'm not going to be too quick to judge it. At first, people like to throw out the words like, well, don't crap on Brandon Lee's legacy, so to speak. I think Brandon would be okay with it. It's been 20 years. It was a role of a lifetime for him. He understands that things move on and people move on. As they say in the movie, it can't rain all the time. You have to move on. I think that if the film is done right and done respectfully, I think The Crow can be remade properly. Now, do I think it needs to be remade? No. But it's the age we are in Hollywood. We're getting reboots. We're getting remakes. One day, we were just talking about Star Wars Episode 7, the last segment. We might all be dead 60, 70 years from now, but they'll probably remake Star Wars. It's just the way it is.
Yeah, just the way it is.
And but right now, up on the website. Well, it may not be there yet, but by the time this podcast you are listening to this, it should be. I have a very special article I've written as the editor-in-chief for The Crow under Retroplex Cinema Special, and that should be up on the website. Trust me, I'm a Jedi.blogspot.com. Please take the time to read it, and please share us your thoughts on 20 Years of The Crow, if you don't mind, on the Facebook page of facebook.com/trustmeimajedi. Hello there, this is your host Mark again. With me as always is Biscuit. We hope you've enjoyed this return of Rebel Radio, so to speak, and we're glad to be back, and aren't you, Biscuit?
Oh yeah.
We hope to bring you an episode a week at least, maybe every 2 weeks. We'll see how it goes, and we'll continue to talk comics and video games and toys and nerd stuff, whatever comes to our minds from week to week. Talk about movies, what's going on. We might have some comedy here or there, and we'll try to get some guests on the show from time to time. And what do you hope to get out of this resurrection of Rebel Radio, Biscuit? Biscuit has no idea, people.
We'll see.
Biscuit needs a new name, first off. He needs a new radio name, and we'll come up with that. And radio, podcast, we have to forgive us. We ran the radio show for 95 episodes, so it's going to take us a while not to call it a radio show, because there is a difference in that in a podcast. And on the next episode of the brand new official podcast of Trust Me, I'm a Jedi Rebel Radio, we'll be talking about probably some Godzilla, I think, and whatever else happens. There's a new Dawn of the Planet of the Apes trailer this week. Well, I'm sure we'll talk about that some more, and whatever else is going on in the world of nerdism. And we thank you for listening. Please tell your friends about us. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/trustmeimajedi. The official website is, of course, trustmeimajedi.blogspot.com. And we thank you for listening. All copyrights belong to Hole in the Wall Productions 2014. Please do not reuse this or copy it without our express written consent. We would appreciate that. And thank you again for listening to Rebel Radio, the official podcast of Trust Me, I'm a Jedi.